championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Hello and welcome to 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I'm your host, Will Bazer, and I'm joined alongside by Darius Terrell. You guys are listening to the Hornscast channel. It's the Hornscast channel on any podcasting platform out there. Y'all, National Signing Day came and went. The 2020 cycle is basically over. There's still a few guys out there who will be signing throughout the next month or so, but for Texas, it looks like it's coming to an end. We're going to be talking about what we think about this overall class, the guys who Texas finished out with, the guys who Texas finished with, the guys who Texas got in December, talk about how we think the 2020 class fit the needs that Texas had coming into the cycle, and talk about who we think will succeed at Texas in the short and long term. Darius, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on?
It's the 2021 cycle. That's the dawn of the 2021 cycle.
Yeah, we're about ready to move on. So let's wrap this one up and
exactly.
Let's look forward to a 2021 that makes this one look like child's play.
Oh, for real. Hopefully more than 19 commits in the 2021 class. Story looking like it's on a good roll there. But let's go ahead and finish off, like you said, with this 2020 class and talk about the guys that Texas hit on. We'll start off with the good news here. And start off with the biggest piece that Texas was after to finish out the 2020 class, and that was highly rated Alfred Collins, the defensive tackle out of Cedar Creek. We've talked a lot about him on this show, but Darius, give me a refresher. What does Alfred Collins bring into Texas?
Alfred Collins is he's a body type that Texas hasn't had on our defensive front. I can't remember them having in forever. He and a guy like Verdon Broughton are both guys that are in the 6'5", 6'6", range. They're now weighing in the 280-pound range. They've got long arms. They're former basketball players. They're big, giant guys with big frames to add more weight, but they're extremely mobile because of their backgrounds, and they're the guys that the big time coaches they're looking for. You know, NFL guys are looking for. You know, they're not that many of them, and when you find them, you try to get as many of them as you can. And Texas got two of them in this class, and Collins is he's the highest rated of them all. So I'm excited about him, and everybody should be excited about him because he's the type of guys you win with.
Yeah, Oscar Giles came into this cycle maligned. People were done with Oscar Giles and his inability to recruit. Well, he really turned it around in this cycle. He couldn't bring in Princely Mamielin. That was a debacle. But he did bring in the other two highly rated defensive tackles in this class in Texas. And you're right, Verdon Broughton, Alfred Collins. That Alfred Collins, he, like you said, man, he just brings stuff that you can't teach. He brings an incredible frame, long arms. He's vicious at the attack. He's got some incredible burst off the line and some good speed for his size. The one thing I would say about Alfred Collins, I don't think he's an immediate contributor unless Oscar Giles can develop him right away and really polish some things that he needs work on, like something as simple as pad level, because he kind of stands up when he gets out of his stance. But I think Alfred Collins is a guy who has a lot of long-term potential and can really take off if built correctly, if developed right.
I disagree with you on the plan early part. I think Collins, guys like Collins are rare. Again, Texas doesn't have anybody else like them, and the odds are that if they develop like on the trajectory that they're projected to go, they're not going to be around longer than 3 years, so you don't have time to waste. They're going to find something to find a role for him. And the thing about Collins and Broughton, again, they both project to be over 300 pounds by their second year or third year in the program. I think they both probably best profile as inside guys that are able to get pressure and wreak havoc. I think what Texas was missing in this class on the defensive front was a guy that can rush the passer from a stance that can bend that corner. I know Prince Dorber, that's what he did in high school. at Highland Park, but he doesn't really have the frame or the body type to get in the trenches, in my opinion, and play in that four down front that they're going
to
go to now.
He's
going
to need a year or two to get his body right.
Right. So the guys that you got in the class, again, guys that you are super excited about because, again, they're so rare in Broughton and Collins, I think they both best project, though, on the inside. And I think that's the same thing holds true for a guy you already have on campus like Tavon J. Sweat, guys like Keandre Coburn. Now, Texas has the potential to be huge at times next year when they want to be with these guys up front. But I think the question becomes who's going to rush the passer. And I think that's going to be Joseph Osai. But who else is going to be getting pressure? And I think that's the question because while Broughton and Collins are both athletic, I wouldn't necessarily call them sack artists or anything like that.
Right. No, that was one thing I was going to say that Collins needs work on is his pass rushing technique. He needs to at least build some sort of a pass rushing move or understands really how to come at a pass rush other than a bull rush, right?
Yeah, and that'll come. I mean, Oscar Giles has put plenty of guys in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
But the good thing about Collins, if you watch him play, and I watched him in the All-Star game, I watched his tape, he's got a heck of a motor. He's got the want to. There were plays that were designed to go away from him, and he still – was smart enough to take the correct angle and was athletic enough to still get there and had the want to still get into play. I think he's going to be good just on pursuit alone. And again, I'm really excited. These were two guys that, you know, you felt like Texas would have a good chance to get. And, they did it. They got them. And,
right.
I just think Texas doesn't produce a lot of guys like this. They missed out on DeMarvin Leal out a year before that. I'm trying to remember outside of Leal, Texas, Bobby Brown to a lesser extent, but Texas doesn't really put out D linemen like this. I mean, they got plenty of them in 2021, but these were the elite guys in this class, and Texas got them. I think that's a home run in that sense, even though you don't have that elite pass rusher in the class.
Right. I'll agree with you. The pursuit is one thing that Alfred Collins does very well. Again, like I said, he's got some incredible measurables given his size. His burst off the line is and his ability to pursue, his speed to catch up is
he's got elite,
something different.
Elite tools.
Right. There's going to be a few things that are going to be hard to come in the summer and get used to and get immediate playing time for Alfred Collins. Like, it's Central Texas is a great place for football, but Alfred Collins was playing teams like Reagan High School, which my girlfriend's sister goes there, not really known for their sports, and had, I think, 13 guys on their team. The guy he was going up against when I went to go watch him and guys that you watch on the tape, you're like, wow, he looks so big. It's because they're not playing the best competition. It's kind of an insider look right there into Central Texas football, high school football at that level. It doesn't mean that he's not still an elite athlete compared, you know, when you look at him on the Under Armour All-American game. I think he's really good. Don't get me wrong. He'll play, but I don't think it's an immediate starter type of deal. He's not Caden Stearns level.
With what Texas has coming back, I don't expect him to start, but I do expect him to be a part of the rotation like Tavondre Sweat was this past year. Who also played at Tavondre played at Huntsville. They're not playing the best. I mean, I've seen things from Collins that I just they're things to get excited about. It reminded me a lot of a guy that played for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in this past game. A guy named Chris Jones that plays defensive tackle for him. I'm excited about it. I think he's going to be under some great tutelage at Texas, and I just think they got a chance to be working with a monstrous duo here. Sooner rather than later.
I could be completely wrong here. I really could be. But the other guy Texas was able to pull in this class was Kelvonte Dixon, the younger brother of Keontae Ingram out of Carthage, Texas. We talked a little bit about him in our last podcast, which, sorry, we missed last week. We got on and we were like, there's nothing to talk about, but we won't talk about tonight. Kelvonte Dixon. He's shown you what he can do on Fox Sports Southwest in the state championship. He is a plus athlete. He possesses a good frame, not a great frame, but He's got versatility that you need right now in this class. When you miss on a cornerback or you miss on a wide receiver here, he's a guy who can really come in and potentially fill some holes.
Well, yeah, he's an elite athlete. He's a guy that last year as a junior at Carthage, which is a 5A program in Texas, he medaled in three different events.
And not just a 5A program, a top 5A program.
Yeah, a top 5A program. But on the track, he medaled in three different events last year, in the 4x1, 4x2, and he won gold in the triple jump, all as a junior, okay? As a junior, he ran an electronically verified 10.7 100-meter dash, and that's smoking for a guy that's not even a senior. But the great thing about his athleticism, too, that's most exciting, is it translates to the field. He had 84 catches for over almost 1,300 yards and 17 touchdowns this past season. And, I mean, you mentioned he's not the biggest guy. You know, he doesn't have the biggest catch radius or things like that. But I think he's versatile enough. He's athletic enough to be able to play both inside and out. He's got that versatility, kind of like a guy like Avonte Woodard. He's got some really good hands. He's got the ability to track the ball over his shoulder. He's shown the ability to high point the ball. I think he's a heck of a pickup. You even saw Carthage use him in the backfield a few times. And, you know he's coming from East Texas. You know he's got a brother that's already been in the program. He's not going to be a guy that says very much. He's just going to come in and work. And I bet you he's a contributor, a big-time contributor at some point later on in his career. Maybe not, you know, next year. I don't think he'll have an early impact. But I think Dixon's going to be a guy that sticks around for a while and ends up being a key guy later on.
I think once he has a position and he sticks down to it, and he starts to really learn that position, he'll take off.
Yeah, he's not the best route runner when you watch him. I mean, he's raw. But every time he gets the ball in his hands, he's got the ability to do something with it. And you can never have enough guys like that.
Right. So, I mean, I guess that's all we can really talk about, Kevontae Dixon. Let's talk about great pickup. Let's talk about some of the misses on the second part of this 2020 National Signing Day. Kevontae Bradford. Now, is it a miss, really? I mean, yeah, it is. You got to call it a miss. But it would have been really the cherry on top, Kevontae Bradford. The fact that he went to LSU probably won't hurt you next year unless he's just legit really good and starts as a freshman, which would be surprising. But he would have been a nice pickup for the Longhorns had he chosen Texas.
No, I think Bradford's a big time player. He had a weird recruitment, man. He wasn't getting pursued by that many big time programs. And I wish Texas would have gotten in on him earlier, but he wasn't a guy that they seemed to pay that much attention to early on in the process. And again, they weren't the only program in the region that looked past him. So I think he's a heck of a player. We saw him in person last spring. I get to see him. He lives. I mean, they play about 15 minutes away from where I stay. I'm very familiar with the Lancaster program. I think that, yeah, that was a miss, but in a sense. But Texas, you can't really – it's hard to be upset or complain at all about what Texas got at running back.
Exactly. Texas did miss on a complimentary piece to Bijan Robinson when they miss on Ty Jordan and Mookie Cooper. Kevontae Bradford would have been that complimentary piece, and boy, would it have been a compliment. But, you know, it can't fault Texas on sticking with Bijan Robinson. Kevontae Bradford at LSU probably won't hurt you next year, probably won't hurt you in the future. Yeah, it sucks that he got away, but it's not a terrible loss. Not like Ennis Rakestraw. Now, Texas was looking for a cornerback to fill, what they lost in at first Jalen Jones and Joshua Eaton. Who else? Ryan Watts at one point. Let me go through the list of guys they missed at cornerback this year. Jahari Rogers, Jalen Kimber. Yeah, you're right. Ethan Pouncey, Dwight McLaughlin. Ennis Rakestraw was supposed to be, he was honestly the backup plan, but he was a guy who was really overlooked throughout the process and really came on in his senior year. So he would have been a really nice addition at cornerback for this class. However, Mizzou was the team that stuck with him for most of his recruitment. And Texas had to take a step back when they fired Jason Washington and hired Jay Vilai and let Jay Vilai on January 13th reevaluate Anis Rakestra and then go back after him and try to establish a relationship with less than a month. Mizzou won out in that way.
Well, I'm actually a fan of how Rakestraw's recruitment ended up playing out. Of course, you know the story by now. He blew up late on Duncanville's playoff run. Had a great game against Rockwall and Jackson Smith Jeeba. He had the in-home visit with Nick Saban, had the visit to Alabama, had the visit to Texas. He got to see all his dream schools come on late. But one thing I did notice, and I mentioned it on the board actually earlier in the week, I noticed on his page, because me and him obviously had exchanged DMs a few times when I interviewed him earlier in the process, but I think Mizzou offered him back in October, and that had been right. The pinned tweet on his Twitter account the entire time. That never changed. I haven't seen it today, but as of yesterday, that Missouri offer was still his pinned tweet. And what I was thinking was, in the back of his head, it was kind of an acknowledgement or a tip of a cap to them that, hey, I still remember y'all were the first ones to believe in me. And what I think he had somebody in his corner that saw the big picture for him was, hey, these are your dream schools. But at the same time, these folks just came in here at the end and, you were an afterthought to them. They were, hey, after we missed on A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like you mentioned, after we missed on all these other guys, we'll take you if you want to come. But again, for Missouri, he was a priority. And what that means is, in my opinion, at Alabama, he would have been recruited over in about a year or two. They would have tried to process him, make him transfer. He'd have went somewhere else. Here at Texas, Texas's entire secondary is juniors. You're going to be waiting for 2 years, trying to carve out a spot on special teams.
And next year, they're going to recruit over you.
Right. The odds are you probably, Texas doesn't have the best development rate, lately. So at a place like Missouri, they've actually done a decent job of developing guys, getting guys in training camps, getting guys drafted. And again, you're a priority. They're going to find ways to get you on the field because they had a plan for you all along. And I like how it played out. I respect how it played out. I think it was a mature decision on his part. But yeah, Texas definitely wanted a second corner in the class. But I do also appreciate them not reaching or getting desperate later on just for the sake of getting the guy in here, especially with 2021 being a little bit better, even though it is another weaker year at defensive back in that class as well.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot Keely Ringo. I was just looking through the guys Florida stole from Texas, like Princely Mamielin, Ethan Pouncey, and Jahari Rogers. All three going to Florida, just
SEC.
Like, wow.
SEC.
SEC. Besides the point.
They play by different rules, don't forget.
Yeah, that's true. Beside the point, Anis Rakestra going to Mizzou would have been a nice pickup for the Longhorns. However, I guess they're just going to have to go heavy in 2021 if the staff sticks around. And again, going back to that Florida, Princey Mamielin losing out on the guy who was once committed to you. And it wasn't like he didn't have a relationship with the Texas staff. Oscar Giles was kept on the staff and was keeping up a relationship with Princely Mamielin. However, Princely Mamielin was kind of looking for a reason to leave Texas after they took a dip mid-season. Texas started to work him back into the fold, but really, it just seemed like he was looking for a reason to leave, right?
I'll say this. Right before we hopped on here today and got this podcast started, I actually just saw the rerun of ESPN playing his commitment. And I heard him mention, during the deal that, shout out to another person that took him on all of his trips. His parents didn't look like they were very familiar with the game of football at all, or that they really were that interested or cared that much at all about football. And what I kind of came to realize, one, I mean, Prince is already a year young for the class. He's just 17, just turned 17, but he was kind of going through the process on his own. And I just think he had a hard time making up his mind because he was looking for some guidance that wasn't really there. Who knows? Florida does have the SEC does. He mentioned they do have a good job of getting guys to the NFL. So if he can stick it out, if he doesn't get homesick, maybe it could be the best thing for him getting away from home. But like you said, I agree. He really seemed like he did want to get away. So I don't really know what you could do there. But he's also another guy. Princely's another guy that while I don't think he's an interior guy, I think he's more of a strong side defensive end, he's not really a pass rusher. So, again, he would have been nice to have, but, again, I still don't think he would answer that need for pass rusher that, you know, that you have or want in every class.
Yeah, but he would have given you the defensive end that you're looking for this new system. At least another guy to add to your list, because you have Osai, you have after that Bimage, and then after that you have Byron Vaughns. You have a lot of different guys who you can fit into that defensive end role that Prince Mumyelen would likely play, unless he plays where Bimage is. You still have a lot of guys that can fit that role.
I'm interested to see. I wonder if Vaughns is going to beef up and become just a DN the full way, or you think he's going to still kind of be that edge
outside
kinda
linebacker? Well, he was supposed to be a B linebacker, and B linebacker seems like they're spinning them down.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to put on weight. I want to see what he looks like this spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he could partly put on some weight, not a whole ton of weight, but enough to be, again, that five tech where sometimes you're standing up and sometimes you have your hand in the ground. Mm-hmm. So I think they could potentially do it. I'd be interested to see if it works. But, yeah, Byron Vaughns is kind of in that middle spot. He's not as potentially dangerous on the ground as Osai is.
Well, not many are.
But he doesn't quite have the – I don't know if he's quite the outside linebacker you're looking for in this defense.
I don't know. We know he can run. He was a guy that ran the 400 meters in high school. So,
and he was looking pretty good in his short time this last year.
Yep, and he's still on the team. He hasn't left, so I'm excited to see what he turns into this spring. I think he's going to be a player.
He's one of those guys, again, who he'll find a role, and he'll do well in the long term. You know, he wasn't an immediate starter. He's a long-term guy. He'll figure it out. He's a good player. So, speaking of what Texas needs and the defensive ends and stuff, let's go ahead and take a complete look at this Texas 2020 class and answer the big question that each class should answer. How did it meet the needs that Texas needed to fill? We came up with three major needs and three secondary needs in terms of positions. The biggest needs that Texas needed to address in this class were linebacker, quarterback, and wide receiver. Linebacker is a pretty obvious one. You lost to Gabriel Floyd. You really didn't have another guy in that spot. Jawan Mitchell was, he's a work in progress.
You lost Caleb Johnson. You lost Caleb Johnson prior to the three games into the year. You lost Marcus Tillman to injury. You just lost Adele Adeyi for the rest of the spring. Like, you got issues.
Right. You are thin in that position. You need to get some bodies, some good bodies, into that position. Darius, I have my answer. How do you think Texas addressed this position? Do you think they did a good job?
Linebacker. I guess if I had to give it a grade, I think I would give it a C. I don't know who your true Mike is in the class. Maybe it's a guy like Jalen Ford. I believe that I was really impressed with Prince Dorba and what I saw from him in the Adidas All-American game and in the Polynesian Bowl. I just thought he looked tremendous in space. I knew he was a basketball player. I saw him play. I knew he was a guard. I knew he was athletic, but Highland Park always had him with his hand in the ground, coming off the edge, rushing the passer. And I was interested to see how he would look moving backwards. And he looked natural. I'm excited about what he could possibly look like. I thought he was initially going to be brought into the class to be that, like you mentioned, that B backer, but he's not a guy that can spin down right now and play with his hand in the ground. I think he's going to be a guy that transitions the linebacker full time. And I think he could possibly be a guy that surprises and plays a lot. I wish he was an early enrollee, but I think Prince Dorbers was a good pickup, and we'll be pleasantly surprised about what he can do and what he looks like, because it's totally different than what he looked like in high school playing.
Right, and a few years, though.
I don't know about a few years. I think he could possibly carve out a role for himself.
He needs at least
– He's like 210 right now. I mean, it's the Big 12. You're not running around at 240. I think he'll actually be fine. And, Yeah, I mean, and Jaden Hullaby, he's been an offensive guy all that I've ever seen of him. I know he's a decently sized guy, about 6'2", about 215, but I've never really seen him play defense, but apparently he's going to start off at linebacker. Got no clue really what you're getting there, but he was a guy that was offered early. Clearly somebody saw something, so I'm interested to see what he looks like.
Right. I think after they missed on a guy like Josh White, who went to LSU, the guy at Assai Creek, they really should have gone after some more inside linebackers. That was
another position that was weak in the state, though. I mean, you didn't really have a whole lot of options.
But I'm just talking about going out. You know, Arizona, looking in Arizona, looking in Georgia. You only had 5 inside linebacker offers. The majority of the rest of the stuff, the rest of the offers you saw were outside linebackers. Jalen Ford was an afterthought offer. They really didn't do a great job, in my opinion, of attacking that position. And it might be because Todd Orlando wasn't the best recruiter. isn't the best recruiter. Probably didn't become his concern during the football season. It probably wasn't his main concern during the football season. Fixing his defense was the main concern. So he didn't put an emphasis on it. You know, Jaden Holby might become really good. Jalen Ford might become really good. Prince Dorba is probably going to be really good. But there was other guys you could have gone out and given a chance to as well and thrown more bodies at this problem that is a problem.
It was a spot that they didn't do that great at. They didn't do great. I think some of the pieces they got, though, I think that some of them you could work with. I mean, yeah, I'm not giddy about the pickup there. I mean, but I'm also not just completely throwing it in the trash, too. But Texas does have an issue at linebacker. I don't know how they're going to solve it.
Everybody's talking about next year being the year, and I'm always being a little hesitant when I think about that, because for it to be the year, for you to have a year like LSU had or something like that, you need to be pretty solid or at least have a high floor at almost every position, at basically every position. And Texas linebacker, that's a huge question mark going into the next year. So we'll see how they address that next year, because if it's a weak spot in the defense, then you're what is it? You're as strong as your weakest link. What is it? Something like that, right?
Yeah. So Juwan Mitchell's back, so there's nothing to worry about there.
So the other big need that Texas need, and it seems kind of silly to say, but it's the quarterback. And the reason being, after this year, you're losing Sam Ehlinger. You need to bring people in to step into that role. You can bring in a freshman who will have a year under him. Darius, I think they did a fantastic job in this class at addressing that need. They got Hudson Card and evaluated him very early, picked him up over Malik Hornsby, and it turned out to be the right answer, and he is taken off. After that, they went ahead and added on with Jaquindon Jackson, who most Longhorn fans are very giddy about, a guy who projects to be very, very good, and given a year under the system, under Tom Herman, under Mike Yurcich, you have two guys who will have years under them, along with Casey Thompson, and to take over that quarterback position from Sam Ehlinger, right?
Yeah, they did about as well as you could ask for. Knowing that you wanted to hopefully take multiple quarterbacks in the class, usually you take one guy that you is your big-time guy, you usually have to end up taking a guy that's a little bit of a sleeper or a little bit of a project or something like that. But what Texas ended up doing was getting the top two quarterbacks in the state who happened to be, you know, in a lot of cases on most boards, top 10 players in the state overall. And, you know, unfortunately, again, Jackson's not going to be available next year due to the knee injury, but Carr's going to get an opportunity. What that's going to do is give Carr an opportunity. He's not going to have the pressure of anybody behind him. He's going to be the hunter in the case of playing behind Casey Thompson. Well, he's going to go into the spring after the 2020 season with, I think, an equal opportunity with a chance to be the starter going into 2021, just based on how everything has played out so far. And I think it's all set up there for him to end up being the guy when he gets the opportunity. But it's going to be a battle next spring.
Yeah, it's going to be, what, a five-way battle between Jalen Milroe, Jaquindon Jackson, Hudson Card, Casey Thompson potentially if he sticks around.
Yeah, from what I understand, Texas isn't interested right now in moving Roschon Johnson back to quarterback.
Yeah, that's why every time I say Roschon Johnson, it's potentially, right? It's always in parentheses, Roschon Johnson, potentially, if he does, if he really wants to move back to quarterback. But yeah, there's not much to say there at the quarterback position. Texas kind of killed it there. They've been doing that pretty regularly, actually, in the past, three classes now, in terms of bringing guys in. The past two classes, we really haven't seen it come to fruition because Sam Ehlinger is Sam Ehlinger. But again, this class, you know, you're attacking a problem with bodies, and that's kind of what you have to do in college football and just in football and sports in general when you have a very important position. Same thing with wide receiver. Wide receiver is a big need coming into this year because, well, the past few classes, you really needed a good class last year, and the fact that some of that class did not pan out, guys like Brew McCoy leaving, really kind of hurt because the year before that, yes, you got Brendan Eagles, but after that you have Alvante Woodard, who is looking to come along, but it's slow, and I don't know, he might be able to break out in the spring. We'll see. He's a question mark. And then after that, it was Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay because in between there was Damian Miller and Jordan Pouncey, both of whom are not at Texas anymore. So you have a big hole in your wide receiver room going into the next year. You need a big haul to make up for what you've missed in the past few classes. Darius, how do you think they've done?
Well, based on what was available in the state this year or nationally, because they also courted Johnny Wilson from Calabasas for a while before they ended up losing out in that recruitment to Oregon. I think that you have to go back to right now. What's on the roster right now with Brendan Eagles, Jake Smith? Where Texas is missing is guys like Jalen Waddle that's at Alabama right now that will be heading into his third year this season. That will be, you know, budding. You know, he's a budding superstar. They're missing a guy like Garrett Wilson, who would be a budding superstar right now on the roster this year. They're missing Rondale Moore, who they had committed. I didn't see the closest guy, that's a lot. There were three guys in the state of Texas this year that ended up finishing ranked in my top 10. That was DeMond Dennis.
One of whom they didn't even offer. They didn't even offer him.
Yeah.
Jackson Smith Jigba.
Well, yeah, they were late on the evaluation there. For some reason, Ohio State, whoever is the guy recruiting Ohio State, he does a better job recruiting the state of Texas than Texas does, and that's a problem. But DeMond Demas, who is probably the most talented player in the class, he's going to Texas A&M. I would say that's a bad fit, but that dude I think is so talented. I mean, he's in that A.J. Green, Julio Jones category on talent. And he was a guy that early on in the process was high on Texas from everything I understand. But Texas just got beat out by Jimbo Fisher and A&M in that case. So he's going there. They were late to the party on Smith Jigba. He was already committed to Ohio State, and apparently the door was still open for Texas and him at some point this past season. And Texas chose to pursue Troy O'Maria, and that's when they got that flip there. So Smith Jigba was out, and then we go to Quentin Johnston, who was committed for a while. Drew Merringer gets fired. Quentin Johnston, who in my opinion was wavering the entire time, now has this excuse to decommit. So he decommits. He ends up at TCU. So there are your three impact talents, your three big-time X, Y receivers that could come in and complement Brendan Eagles and Jake Smith next year. They're all going to different schools. So Texas missed on all of them there. I would have to give the receiver grade a C for this class, even though I do like O'Maria. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would get that's a high grade for me, man. I think grade. They missed on evaluations. They missed on recruitments. And think about it. Mookie Cooper, his junior year was all Texas. How do you not keep a hold on that guy?
Well, some stuff you can't control. I mean, he did end up having to switch schools, high schools. He was a guy that was never done with his recruitment. I think he ended up making the right decision, going somewhere that had a better track record of using guys like him. I think him and Ohio State's a perfect fit. But no, Texas missed out on a ton of guys as a receiver. Again, it was an underwhelming haul with this group, even though I do like guys like Dixon, guys like Omerier to a certain extent. Texas, I don't know. I mean, that guy, the receiver coach, those guys are gone now. I think they're gone with good reason. I don't know what type of recruiter Andre Coleman is, but I guess we're going to get a chance to see. But TCU brought in the best wide receiver class in the Big 12 this go-round with Quentin Johnston, Savion Williams, and Caleb Medford. And I don't know how they did it. TCU went 5-7 and struggled to get Jalen Reagor the ball, yet they got three of the best receivers in the state coming in. Meanwhile, Texas, is waiting to the last minute to be able to get the brother of a player on the team committed. It was weird. It was weird, but there was a lot going on with that receiver room.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, we can talk about how Mariner missed on this class, and you've already kind of touched on it with guys like Jalen Waddell and Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Drew Mariner, I don't know, I keep on seeing people who, it's just the, every so often I see a Longhorn fan who sticks up for Drew Mariner. I don't get it. I do not get it. The wide receiver room is a bit of a mess now because of him. We're in this mess because of an inability to evaluate the talent and an inability to bring in the talent that you were able to evaluate.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it can't go anywhere but up from here. And again, not trying to be negative on the class that they brought in. Again, I like the pieces that they brought in. That instant impact guy, I don't believe is in this class.
No, not at all. And you needed that. You really needed that coming into this year after losing a lot of production in Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay. That's going to be a huge question mark going into next year. Again, another pivotal year. You have Sam Ellinger as a senior.
Well, I mean, Texas isn't hurting for talent. I mean, Jake Smith was a national top 50 guy. Marcus Washington was a national top 100 guy. We saw flashes from Kennedy Lewis. We expect there's Josh Moore could come back. I mean, Texas isn't just hurting for talent at wide receiver. It's just a little bit unproven. But I mean, right. That's what I don't I, think
again,
Ellinger's going to have
question marks.
Sure, there are question marks, but I mean, the passes are going to have to go somewhere. And I mean, Texas again, there's not hurting for guys that are capable. It's just we haven't seen them get the opportunity. So now we'll get it. We'll see it. And I'm not talking about Malcolm Epps. I don't want to see Malcolm Epps. But the rest of them.
Do you remember earlier this year you were saying Malcolm Epps is my dude?
No, I said he was going to have a good game. And he did have he caught a touchdown that game. That's what I said. I didn't say he was my dude. He needs to be playing tight end, which it looked like he might be moving to, right, from what we saw.
Right.
The tweet earlier.
He will be moving the tight end. Yeah. So the three secondary positions Texas had are defensive line, running back, and offensive line. Let's run through them real fast because they're pretty simple. Defensive line, I think they killed. Maybe they could have done better with a defensive end. Got a defensive end in this class.
Yeah.
But it's hard to be upset with getting Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins in this class. Maybe you could have gotten Princely Mumyelen in here or held on to Van Fillinger. Brought in Jason Harris, or there's a bunch of other things you could have done, but man, it's just, again, it's hard to be upset with what you got out of these guys in this class.
Right.
So A- maybe because it's only two guys, but
that keeps it from being an A for me. I gave it a B. Yeah. I mean, you need that rusher. I think all three guys, including Sawyer Gorham-Rouse, I think all three guys kind of all end up profiling as defensive tackles. You didn't get a defensive end
right in
the class. So, yeah, that
right
keeps it from being an A for me.
Okay. That's fair. That's a fair analysis. Running back. I mean, Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson is Bijan Robinson, right? Did he end up being the number one running back in the nation?
Yes.
At the end of it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you did a very good job there. I would have liked to have seen a complimentary piece, potentially.
He's his own complimentary piece.
I would have liked to see like Ty Jordan or EJ.
Ty Jordan would not have touched the ball.
EJ Smith. I would have liked to see EJ Smith.
EJ Smith knows he would not have touched the ball. Keontae Ingram.
Bijan, no, don't Bijan get me wrong, Robinson. Dude. I'm not saying Bijan Robinson is not good.
Every now and then, Roshan Johnson. Nobody else is touching the ball.
Okay. I mean, you're right. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I just, you know, I would
Texas,
have liked
Texas
to have
might
more
have,
bodies.
Their two backs might combine for like 1,800 yards next year.
You not giving my boy Roshan Johnson any love, man.
He's not on that level. I'm going to be realistic. I'm not. No, I like Roshan Johnson. He seems like a great guy, good team player. He's a good football player, but Bijan Robinson's a little bit different.
He's a different breed.
He's different.
Well, Texas pulled him in. They had shots at guys. You know, they were talking with guys like Kendall Milton, Jace McClellan, Zachary Evans.
Hey,
Seth
shout out
McGowan.
To Stan Drayton. And let's talk about it some more. No, talking about how
yeah,
Texas
no,
had to
Stan
fire
Drayton,
everybody. Stan Drayton was getting courted by the Rams, Cowboys, and he's still at Texas. We're going to talk about that more since people
yeah,
want to talk
about
it.
At the beginning of this year, I mean,
get.
Halfway through the season, I was angry. We had a show about, man, what is Stan Drayton doing? What is Stan Drayton doing? Why can't he pull in a guy? And then, boy, did he prove Texas fans wrong, myself included. I ate, you know, I put my foot in my mouth. Yeah, he killed it. He really did. He built a relationship with Bijan Robinson, and he brought Bijan Robinson into Texas. And Bijan Robinson is a special talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, props to Stan Drayton on this cycle, man. He really did well. It would have been nice to kept Ty Jordan, but hey, you know, Bijan Robinson's Bijan Robinson, right? As you said. So then the next secondary position group, offensive line. Hey, so I'm guessing you're giving the running back like an A?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Offensive line, what's your grade there? Because it's a position where you wanted to get some more bodies in there. It wasn't an incredibly deep position in this class. There wasn't really a guy in the state who is like, wow, like, look at this guy. Like last year was Branson Bragg or Walker Little, Tyler Johnson. It wasn't a huge name like that. Or Kenyon Green. This year, you know, there was just a bunch of secondary level player names in terms of, you know, they're not five-star players.
Well, the best
right?
one, in my opinion, Tykeus Crawford didn't qualify. He's going to Kilgore.
Right.
But, the guy I'm most excited about is Andreas Kerrich from South Lake Carroll. I think
I completely agree with you.
I think he projects as a left tackle. He's got some excellent footwork. He's got a mean streak. He's got the size you're looking for and the length. I'm excited about him. Texas signed four guys in the class. Kerrich, Jalen Garth from Port Neches Grove, same place as Roshan Johnson. Those are your two tackles. Garth is coming off of an ACL. He missed his entire senior year. I think he's going to spend the next year, 2 years, just getting his body back to where it needs to be before you start really hearing about him. But he's another really athletic big guy that flew under the radar due to not being able to play. Jake Majors is, by all accounts, your next center prospect. He's going to be the guy playing behind Derek Kerstetter this year and will likely take over as a redshirt freshman or true sophomore. In his second year, he's your center prospect. And then Logan Parr is your other interior prospect. I think Parr is a decent prospect. I think he was a little bit of a reach, in my opinion, with how early Texas took him. The 247.com composite has all of their linemen rated as four-star prospects. I'm most excited about Kerrich. I'm probably least excited about Parr. Overall, I would give the class, the four-man class, I would give them a C+, because Garth is a little bit damaged goods coming in with the ACL. I'm not crazy about Parr. That leaves you Majors and Kerrich. And Kerrich was a late bloomer who may or may not be a little bit of a project, but I think he's got a high upside. And then Majors is he's the interior guy that needs to add weight. None of them can come in and contribute next year. So I'll give it a C+.
Yeah, and I think they could have gone after a guy in Nate Anderson out of Frisco. He really blew up. What was it, around this time last year?
Yeah, I actually went out to, yeah.
Right, and I think Texas could have gotten in on him before Oklahoma and really done well there, but Texas just decided, hey, no, we're going to stick with Logan Parr and Jake Majors, which, hey, you know, that's good, but Nate Anderson is just a better player.
I thought that too, but after I actually went out and met with him and interviewed with him, he's an A&M legacy, and A&M is actually where he wanted to go, and they didn't recruit him, and Texas was never really – they were never really one of the top
Shane
contenders.
Shane Buechele was an OU legacy, man.
I know,
so,
but no.
So
I,
was Casey
I talked
Thompson.
To him. It was never really Texas. Texas was spending their time. They were focused on Chad Lindbergh. That's who they were all crazy about at the beginning before he ended up stringing them out for a little bit, and then they took Carriage, and then he ended up going to Georgia. That's who they were focused on. It was Lindbergh and even Damian George to a lesser extent, right?
Right, but I still think – give Nate Anderson a shot. Go after him and see where you can go with that. It's a good class for what 2020 was at the position. 2021 is the year where you have to go ham, and it's going to be easy to go ham at offensive line in 2021. So those were your positions that needed to be met, be addressed in this 2020 class. Darius, what do you think about overall this 2020 class? Just give me your grade on how Texas did in this 2020 class.
Okay, on Texas' class, overall, I think I'd give the class. I think it's rated as the number 9 class overall. It's the number 1 class in the Big 12. It's the third year in a row Tom Herman and Texas has had the top class in the Big 12. On a scale of 1 to 10, I think as far as meeting needs with guys that could with big time players, I think I would give the class about a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10. I don't think it's as talented as last year's class, but when you take away the guys in last year's class that didn't even make it, like Brew McCoy, like DeGabriel Floyd, like Darion Brown, like Javon Shepherd, who already been casualties, I think it kind of ends up evening out a little bit, and they both end up being, you know, fringe top 10 classes. So I would rate it similar to last year's, and you just can't have the same amount of casualties in this class because it's a smaller class. Last year you took 26, you only took 19 this year.
Yeah, I think that 19 number is what really hurts this class. Yeah, I mean, it's a really high overall composite rating, but as people know, in recruiting and going from one level to the next, it doesn't always work out. All 5 stars do not work out, right? So, again, I'm a big fan of throwing bodies at a problem. Getting more guys in this class to fill positions that were needs, like linebacker and wide receiver, those two big needs were not met very well. And there's a few positions that they could have done better at filling, like cornerback. I, you know, 7's a good number. I could maybe go as low as 6 here just because of their inability to fill some big needs. But still, overall talent level, I could go as high as 8.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, right, maybe average out a 7 here, but I'm more leaning towards that 6 just because of, you know, you lost a lot of guys that you needed in this class. You really did. Because of coaching overturn, because of a rough middle of the season, you really couldn't. You were coming off of that Sugar Bowl. It should have been a class where you were able to build off some of that momentum. But you know, the guys they reached for, they didn't do a good job of really pulling in. So it's hard to give them a really good grade here, and I feel like I'm being a negative Nancy here. So Darius, am I being too harsh?
I mean, I think there are some really good pieces in the class. I think you've been a little harsh. I mean, I definitely have questions about linebacker. Definitely have questions about wide receiver. You could have some questions, in my opinion, at offensive line, but also you got some really, really, really high highs with the running back, the quarterbacks, the defensive linemen.
Right.
A guy like, we didn't even talk about a guy like Keaton Crawford who can play inside and out. I thought he was arguably the best cornerback.
Right, and you're not really hurting for cornerbacks in this class.
No, but you still got one that can still. Crawford's going to find a way on the field, man. Watch.
Right.
Watch. I like him a lot. But right. I think he got some pieces in the class, but there were definitely some spots that didn't get met like they needed to. Losing Quinn Johnson hurt.
I wish there were more guys in the class. I wish they would have gotten more guys.
No. You want to fill up next year. I promise.
That's true. Yeah,
you
want to
fill up next year.
Save the shit.
The 20th best player in this 2020 class would be like the 45th best player in this 2021 class. It's that big a difference.
You know what? You bring up a good point there. You do bring up a good point. So, like I said, I'm 7, but I would lean more towards 6 before I lean to 8.
That's fair. Yeah. 7. Eh. 7.2.
I wasn't being too harsh. That's what I said originally. Gotcha.
He kind of confused me. I don't know. I'm just, yeah.
It's too late. All right. Something. Before we get out of here, just a few individual player questions. Give me who you like best in this class to play right away. Give me your Caden Stearns of this class.
Am I allowed to say Bijan Robinson, or do I need to say somebody else?
I mean, that's kind of a cop-out answer, but okay. if you really can't think of anybody else other than Bijan Robinson.
Nonstop, God is going to play next year. God is going to play next year. God is going to play next year. Give me, give me, he's enrolled early. Give me Verdon. Give me Broughton. Give me Broughton.
That was going to be my answer. I think Vernon Broughton's the guy who comes in immediately and plays. He'll see the field the quickest out of any of these players. That's my thought. If Bijan Robinson doesn't beat him out there, he's the guy who sees it next, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty simple. He's coming in. He's going to be in early. He's going to get the weight on him early. He's going to know the defense. He's already a pretty plus athlete. He's got skill. He'll be prepared for it. So then on the other side of the spectrum, who is the guy that you think works out best in the long term? So you're Sam Cosmi, a guy who give me a year or two to get some weight on him, get him used to the system, and he becomes a all-star left tackle, or a guy like Devin Duvernay, who is sort of a question mark for the first 2 years and then all of a sudden blows up.
Mm. Yeah, just give him some time to get healthy, and Jaquindon Jackson to be the man long term in this class.
Yeah,
that was an easy one. Yep, easiest question of the night. Just in case you forgot or had any doubts about it.
I think it's Andrej Kerich. I think that's the guy who, you know, if I'm not going to go an easy answer here, I'm going to go with Andrej Kerich. And really, Texas has done very good with their reaches at certain positions. So over the past, 6 years, the last ranked player in the class are these guys. Elijah Rodriguez, Brecken Hager, Zach Shackelford, Sam Cosmi, Rob Cummins, Christian Jones, Jared Wiley. That's a really good batting average right there. That's a good hit rate for the last rated guy, the least hyped up player in your class.
Yeah. Malcolm Roach was a 3-star. Charles Omenihu was a 3-star. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a really, really good hit rate for Texas. You know, different staffs and whatnot, but still, a guy like Andrej Kerich fits that bill. A guy like Jalen Ford fits that bill, where Jalen Ford is legitimately the last rated guy, the last place rated guy in this class, but like Zach Shackelford or Sam Cosmi rated committed to another class before Texas came along. A team that does well with recruiting and evaluating talent. Andrej Kerich is a guy who reminds me very much of Sam Cosmi in terms of what he brought at the time that Texas came along. So both those guys are very, very intriguing to me. And I think given some time, they're going to be good. I don't think they're immediate contributors, but given time, those two guys, I think, will make their names well known.
Nice guesses, decent guesses, fair enough.
Right.
In my opinion.
But on that note, y'all, that has been your 4th and 5, your Longhorn Nation podcast. I've been your host, Will Baizer. You guys can find me on Twitter at WILLBAIZER. Darius on Twitter, man, I've been kind of going a little bit off the walls, kind of getting a little less serious. So I might start arguing with you. Where can I find you on Twitter so I can start some arguments with you?
I'm not going to argue. You can find me at DTerrell05. And I've been arguing with folks about Trae Young and Ja Morant, you know, stuff like that. But
Are you pro or anti Ja Morant?
I'm pro Ja Morant. I think he's.
I don't think there's a way to be anti Ja Morant.
No, he's a beast. I think he's the third best rookie in the last few draft classes behind Luka and Zion.
Anybody better than Luka?
Maybe Zion when we see him a little bit longer.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, both of them are pretty fun to watch. That's for sure. But guys, to find other episodes like this one or other shows like Pretend We're Football or Fire Tom Herman podcast, you guys can find that on the Hornscast channel. That's the Hornscast channel on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Play, anywhere you guys find your podcasts. If you're not listening to your favorite podcast host right now, you can find us there. On that note, thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next week. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.